that?
Tui and applesauce. Three words for that. Ooh, blah, and blah. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Oh, it's gangbusters.
Damn a shake in FL. In FL and Dave. Damn a shake.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? Hope all's well wherever you are. And I hope you're having a happy holidays wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 40 of the Dave Damashek football program, available on iTunes as well as DaveDamashek.NFL.com. Subscribe, won't you? Matter of fact, speaking of podcasts, just today, just moments ago, I paid a visit to one Rich Eisen and sat in on his podcast. So be on the lookout for that, as well as the Shame Report. Just took care of the Shame Report. I had to speak about people who say that I am loathe, even though I've made it clear I am from Pittsburgh, PA, and I root for the Steelers. It doesn't make me incapable of objectivity, and you'll have to watch the Shame Report to see who's number one on this week's Shame Report, and I think that will answer all questions about whether or not I can come down on the Steelers if I see a need to do so. Anyway, also to check out Adam Rank's Pick Six columns, known the world over for their insight mixed with humor. You know, I think that's a good way to describe him. Here he is. You also see him on NFL Fantasy Live. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having
How
me.
Are we?
Appreciate
it.
Oh, doing
Happy
wonderful.
Holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Yeah. What's new?
You know, what happened? You know,
so,
I was watching.
So dour.
I was, no, I'm not dour. I was watching, you know, it's so funny because people who follow the podcast or follow me on Twitter at Adam Rank know that I'm also a wrestling fan, is also, you know, as well as liking the NFL. The thing is I'm watching Monday Night Raw and I'm watching Monday Night Football back-to-back mm-hmm. together because I have two TVs in the living room. So I'm watching Ben Roethlisberger sell this, you know, injury that he had a week ago, limping around,
wait,
handing
so
it up.
Well,
no, let me finish.
All right,
so
go
he's
ahead.
Handing it up for the cameras. And then here's CM Punk on the other channel who just was in a table, ladders, and chairs match the night before, showing no ill effects. It's like, you know what? Take a page from Ben Roethlisberger. Learn how to sell your injuries because, gosh, I wish – I don't know if the WWE can hire him to come in and teach his – you know, teach the guys how – this is how you keep people thinking you're a tough guy by just perpetuating this. Oh, look at my injury. I can barely go. I'm such a champion.
Great point. Great point. So, in other words, what you're saying – Roethlisberger really committed to this injury thing that he
Love
was
it.
Playing up by throwing two abysmal interceptions early in the game.
Well,
look, everybody,
not,
I'm selling it. I mean, I'm fine, but I want you to think I'm hurt, and I'm going to prove it to you by throwing terrible passes.
Well, no, he just wasn't playing good.
Wow.
Maybe the 49ers, I know, okay, I know it's loathed you to give the 49ers credit. Maybe their defense was good. Maybe they intercepted it because Roethlisberger wasn't playing well.
I think it's a mix of both things. That
you know,
defense
hey,
is legitimate.
Next man up. You know, the Steelers are all about, you know, the standard
the
doesn't
standard
drop.
Remains the same.
Standard
That's what Coach Tomlin
same.
Talks about.
So
right?
If you're hurt or not, standard remains the same.
I expect, and we're pending an announcement. When we're recording this, it's afternoon Tuesday out here on the West Coast in the Nerve Center of the NFL in Culver City, California. We haven't heard official word yet whether or not it's going to be Roethlisberger against the Rams, Chaz Batch, or Dennis Dixon. It's even it's not even clear who the Steelers would run out there if Roethlisberger does in fact sit down. So interesting stuff there. I mean, no matter what, it's the Rams. That certainly should be a win. It might be a cool little contest to run. If they were more desperate for fans, they mm-hmm. might they could have a contest like, hey, we're going to call one ticket holder gets to play quarterback for the second quarter against the Rams.
That's what the St. Louis FC is doing.
It seems
they're
like
just
that's what they're
pulling them out of the crowd.
Yeah. So we're going to be yapping with C.J. Spiller, whose breakout has been a little delayed by injury and, of course, by the great Fred Jackson and how good Fred Jackson's been. But since Jackson had to sit down, C.J. Spiller's really started to emerge here. He was a high-round draft pick starting to earn his keep and prove that was a good pick there. But the season for the Bills has fallen apart. He's about to play Tebow and Company, so we have a lot to yap with. And also, he's a Clemson kid. I always like talking. To me, Rank, That might be not, that's not the best uniform in college football, but when the Clemson Tigers go all orange. I don't like monochromatic. I don't like when a uniform is, you know, I don't like the Seahawks wearing that blue hat, shirt, and pants. It doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. But I like when Clemson does it. I think that they're looking like what the Broncos, as a matter of fact, have been doing lately. The Navy, 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 feh, feh, and feh. But when the Tigers do it, Clemson, I like it.
How do you feel about San Diego State with the all black but the red helmet?
That's okay. It's so-so. I don't really count them as a legitimate college football team, though. I'm sorry. Listen, all due respect to you and your pal Marshall Faulk. I don't,
former Heisman Trophy winner.
Marshall Faulk won the Heisman Trophy?
No, he didn't.
Where does that nonsense? Why do you just make stuff up to make points?
He should have been. I think when you look at it, the biggest Heisman robberies of all time, I think number one, Marshall Faulk losing to Gito Toretta. And then I guess number two Jake Plummer losing to Danny Werfel.
Okay, that's a pretty good one, too.
There are some good ones.
I'll tell you another one. Hugh Greene in 1980 losing to George Rogers, the linchpin of that great Pitt defense that proved the point by shutting down George Rogers in the Gator Bowl that season. That was a good one. And what was the year? Tim Brown, I never felt, deserved to win the Heisman the year that he did. Andre Ware won it. In hindsight, that was probably not a great move. That was more product of system than skill from the individual.
Right. If you look back in history, there's a number that come up when you but Marshall, to me, still stands up as, you know, one that stands out there because he was so dominant.
The Heisman's lost its luster entirely, starting probably with Toretta once and for all, became a joke. But Jason White won the Heisman Trophy.
That was awful. Well, O.J. Simpson, I think, didn't win it. When you look at the USC running backs, you look at O.J. Simpson,
Gary Beben.
Yes, from UCLA.
Well, the Juice won once, but he didn't win it twice.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry, I had that backwards.
Yeah, I think he won it in his senior season, but not his freshman. I could be wrong. Not his junior season. Anyway, listen, we have much to get to here. We have to go through what if the season ended today. We have to look at how things are seeding there. The season isn't ending today, to be clear. The season is not ending today.
Okay.
But we also have to discuss the Shecky Awards, which are coming up next week. We're going to cover all the big issues. Maybe I should get a little insight from CJ Spiller. Last week we talked to Steve Smith of the Panthers, our new pal, by the way. He's an almost weekly regular. This week he's on Total Access on NFL Network, so we had to give way there and let Steve Smith shine over there.
Well, we're a team player.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, and I say this, and I cannot say this enough, you know, because we, as people know, if you followed, if you've missed a couple of episodes, we have moved into the new Dave Damashek Broadcast Center here at Studio 66 at NFL Network. And it's not just the home to the Dave Damashek football program. It's home to the Dave Damashek Network of football programs.
Family. I like to call it a family of shows.
We've got, you know, the Cover 2, the Coaches Show, Eisen, the Fantasy Show, all of those. Welcome at Studio 66.
I embrace them all.
And it was hard because we had to go and pitch Steve Smith the Total Access. Like, you guys got to take a look at this guy. Make sure you get him on your show.
Well, but he's gangbusters. We love yapping with him. He's great. And we'll hopefully catch up with him again next week. But I asked him the best breakfast meat. Mm-hmm. You know, the all-important category in the Shecky Awards each and every year. Volatile category. You never know which way that one's going to go. And I asked him best breakfast. He went turkey sausage. So his opinion, while appreciated, was not very good. Turkey sausage. That's the best breakfast meat? Come on. Anyhow, we have, like I say, we have a lot to yap about here. But first, let's say hello to a man whose voice you've not heard. His dulcet tones for at least 3 weeks, I would say. We've not heard him here on the podcast, and with good reason, he had a baby. Get in here, Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Mazel tov, Handsome Hank. How are you? You're a father for the second time.
I am. Thank you, Dave. It's great. It's very exciting.
How's it going?
Awesome. Awesome. Not sleeping at all, but who needs sleep?
Well,
I got a daughter.
Can I tell you something? Oh, and that was one thing.
Did I give something away there?
No, we took up the idea of naming her before your wife actually had her. Right. And so we still have to work on coming up with a name. Maybe people could tweet us, at Damashek and at Adam Rank, and let us know.
Yeah, she's almost 2 weeks old now, and I'm still holding off on the name because I need those suggestions.
I still like DeBrickashaw.
DeBrickashaw was on the list. My wife's not having it.
No DeBrickashaw.
She's not. Well, she won't do it.
When did she get a vote in this?
I don't know. LaDainian. I tried LaDainian.
You guys, you understand.
Does she understand that you have now emerged as a star? She doesn't. It's not like you belong just to her now. You belong to the world.
I hadn't
thought
of that.
Thanks to the Dave Damashek
Plus,
football program.
You know, this kid's American. True. She is not. She can't tell one of our citizens.
She's out of her jurisdiction. Yeah, she's out of her jurisdiction, I think.
That's an interesting point. So I don't actually have any say either.
No.
No, indeed.
All right, so it's down to Adam Rank.
I think
voice of America.
What about Marino for a girl?
Marina.
Yeah.
Marina.
Yeah, well, you are a flipper. You're a Dolphins fan.
She's got enormous feet
all.
As well. That would probably work.
Perfect. So Handsome Hank joins us. He's, as you can hear, if you've not heard him before, he's from England, and yet he's an NFL employee. See, it's truly a global sport. And, Handsome, you always bring to us whatever quote via Twitter or otherwise that really stands out to you. And, what the hot topics of the week are. What do you have for us this week?
I got a good one. This is kind of a week old because I haven't been here, but I really like it. It's Joe Flacco last week on Tim Tebow.
I like
Tebow.
How you say Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is bemused by all the Tim Tebow media coverage. Mm-hmm. And he says...
this is, and just for a point of reference, this was 2 days before their game against San Diego on Sunday night.
Yeah. He says... I mean, look at Tim Tebow. I like Tim, but you have a tendency to want to, and I don't want to see Tim do bad, but look what happens after he wins a football game. If you watch SportsCenter today, it was Tim Tebow, then something else, then Tim Tebow, then something else, then Tim Tebow, then something else. When we beat the Steelers, were we on TV? I couldn't even find a Ravens highlight. I think that's the kind of the way it is around Baltimore. We don't always get our respect, but you've got to deal with it and go out there every week and just win football games.
All right, a couple of things about this. You have not put it into a more positive light. You always try to and support with your nice voice, but this is an indefensible statement by Flacco. I love him making it 2 days before they get absolutely destroyed on national TV by the Chargers, a team that, as it appears now, is not even going to make it into the playoffs, and yet they destroyed Flacco's mighty bunch. We don't get any credit. We don't get any respect. Hey, Joe, here's why. Because you've never won anything. Your team won a Super Bowl 11 years ago with the most two-dimensional outfit that I can recall, or at least a team that got to win the Lombardi Trophy. But obviously that predates you. Since then, all you're about is inconsistency, Joe. What respect do you imagine you're owed when you've never been so much as to a Super Bowl? I mean, it's remarkable, and I just hope that he's getting the attention he respects after that game, because he wants a lot of attention. He certainly deserves some for how awful he played in that game, and not to mention three or four other games this season. He is not a top-flight quarterback going out there and laying the eggs he's laid over the course of the season.
How vain is he that he's looking for his highlights?
Yes.
Like, what do you think? Like, he walks into a bar. Hey, anybody seen the Ravens highlights? Huh? Hey, look at number 5 throwing the ball. If anybody wants to buy this guy a drink.
Is that anything like the mad scramble there is from the Fantasy Live crew coming back to watch themselves on TV immediately after?
I was just going to say, I think that's the pot calling the kettle fat. But what are you talking about that if you were a professional athlete, you wouldn't want to see yourself a little bit? You wouldn't check out the highlights?
If I did, I wouldn't go announcing it in the paper.
True.
Like, hey, you know, I'm trying to find myself on TV, everybody, and you know what? Just can't do it.
So, Handsome Hank, while you're here, let's get into it here. We like to look at how things are seated currently if the season ended today. And sadly, we're pretty close to that actually being the case. We only have two more weeks of football.
2 more weeks.
Then it's into the playoffs. I'm sad. Where did it all go, Handsome? It seemed like it was just yesterday that it was August and we were excited that there was going to be a whole season to look forward to. We were getting the full 17 weeks, and now it's just about all gone.
But it shouldn't all be doom and gloom, because this morning I was thinking, these playoffs are going to be exciting.
Yeah, they do shape up. There's no dead weight,
is the
thing.
But also, they look like, I don't know, especially in the AFC more than anywhere else. I think the NFC, we probably can all see maybe a Packers-Saints rematch coming up for the NFC Championship game. I can. You know,
it's plausible, but not probable.
Okay.
It's not probable?
No. The Saints have
Niners have a tough game coming up at Seattle this weekend.
Okay,
they lose that one, and it's, you know, you could certainly make a case that the way Pete Carroll has that team playing, that that's a tough spot on a short week turnaround for the Niners as they have it.
I'm not denying any of that. I'm alluding to the fact that the Saints having to win on the road, that they just haven't proven that they can do it. They can't. They went up to Seattle last year and lost. 2006 NFC Championship game when they were playing in Chicago, lost. When they're in a dome, they're fine. And if they somehow manage to get the second seed, which I guess they could,
well,
San Francisco. No, you make a good point. The Saints have to have the 2 seed to go to Green Bay.
Well, here let's take a look at it as we do every week here as we lead up to the playoffs. Your first round of the playoffs right now would be the Saints and the Lions. But as Rich Eisen pointed out, wouldn't it be great?
Oh, your new buddy.
That's right. That's right. If the Niners fall to the 3 seed, you get a rematch of the handshake bowl.
Yeah.
That would be dandy. That's the thing.
That's what America should be rooting for.
I love that. I love the idea of that. But as it stands now, the Niners would be sitting it out. And Alex Smith, we could say whatever we want about, the Roethlisberger shouldn't have been out there. He didn't look right. They had to compromise the offensive playbook because of how limited he was on that.
Hero.
Listen, I didn't say he's a hero. He is tough, though. You can say whatever you want about him off the field. You can't argue that he's a tough guy on the field. And I know there have been whispers that maybe he plays up his injuries over the course of the week, but I don't think this one falls under that heading. I think this is a legit one.
The different colored shoe did have a look at my ankle kind of thing to it.
All right. Yeah, touche.
I'm wearing a different colored shoe. That's the worst.
Yes. And then you have the Packers at 13-1, and now suddenly everybody's lost faith. It's amazing how many people are jumping off that Packers bandwagon. I choose to stay on.
Your 19-game winning streak is snapped. Everybody's like, oh, what's wrong with this squad?
Well, the fact of the matter is, it seems to me that they still win that game against Kansas City if Mike McCarthy challenges that play. If you give Aaron Rodgers the ball at his own 20 with that much time left. What was it, about 12 minutes left on the clock, something like that? I think he goes down the field.
Have that more
puts
accessible.
Puts him in the lead, and they don't blow it.
Have the red flag more accessible.
What was he doing?
McCarthy has
the flag in his – it's as though it was stuck in his by his bum, and he couldn't get
there. Do whatever you have to do. Like, sprint onto the field, because I think if you sprinted onto the field with the express purpose – of throwing the challenge flag, I think the referees would let it go, especially when you're in that kind of a circumstance. It's not like he's, streaking like George Costanza in the bodysuit. But no, just run out there and be like, wait, hold on, we're going to take a look. And why aren't you challenging?
I assume it was the Packers looking at the replay and saying, don't waste the timeout.
Don't they? They've got a buzzer as well, right? It's not just the flags so that we can all see it, but I'm pretty sure they have some other kind of way of
either way,
I'll tell you,
the Packers want to obviously hold on to the number one seed there. I wonder, the Lions... We've all kissed them into the playoffs already, but they do still need to win a game here. And they have two tough games. They have the Chargers coming to town this week, and then they play the Packers. What if that game is a must-win for the Lions going into that one? It's potentially the Packers would be in a situation where they'd need to win. But I think they're going to come out there. They're going to eliminate all concern, all doubt. They're going to dominate in the first half this week and put that to rest. But anyway, Lions-Saints, who would win that one, fella?
Lions Saints in a rematch of a game we've seen before, probably lean towards the Saints.
The Saints would win that one.
In New Orleans.
In the dome, yeah. They would win that game. And then you have the Falcons and the Cowboys. Now, here's what I say. The Packers Saints have a tough game coming up this weekend with the Falcons coming to town. I do not think the Falcons are a very good team, but I think they're a good team, but I don't think they're a team that really can go to the Super Bowl. However, I'm willing to concede I'm wrong if they can play within a touchdown of the Saints in New Orleans this week, as good as the Saints look. But I don't think that's going to happen. But Falcons going into Dallas for the first round of the playoffs.
But Matt Ryan has been looking a little bit better. He still has to have that one clutch moment where you look back and you're like, you know what? He really put his team on his back and rallied them for a win. And say what you want about the Lions and how they've struggled. They've gotten down big in some games, and Matt Stafford has led them back, most recently, obviously, against the Raiders. He has those moments to where if something big comes up, you're like, okay, I could see it happening with him. Matt Ryan, I don't get that. I haven't seen it from him yet.
Here's what's interesting to me about the Lions. In that last drive, I can't recall. I mean, I guess we've seen it some with Dan Fouts throwing it to Kellen Winslow 25 years ago. But you knew. You always hear the thing. Everybody knew that the feature back was getting the ball at the goal line. Everybody in the stadium knew where it was going. But this is a wide out, and you knew in that last drive, Stafford made no secret. I am just throwing the ball to Calvin Johnson. Stop it. And they couldn't stop it. I mean, I know the Raiders aren't the world's greatest defense, but it was still remarkable. Hey, the game's on the line. Potentially our season's on the line. I'm just throwing it no matter what to Calvin Johnson, and they couldn't stop him from completing the passes. It's kind of scary if you're playing that team.
I think John Skelton has that play in his playbook, too. Just throw it up for Larry Johnson. I like to see more teams do that. We have a 6'4 receiver. Let's throw it up. But it is impressive, and it was against Terrence Newman, too, who is perceived to be a good quarterback. So, yeah, that's a good win for them. I still like the Lions. But that's going to be tough. I just can't expect them to go into the Superdome and beat the Saints.
All right. In the AFC, the Patriots are now cruising.
Before we get off, because Cowboys, we're talking about them because they're leading right now. The Giants are still in the mix, 7-7-1, that people just aren't talking about. But the Eagles.
Oh, people are talking.
Black Tie, our producer, has said this for weeks, that the Eagles still have a chance to come back and win that division.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a good enough reason to play his theme music in case you missed it. Hit it, Black Tie. Play your new theme song.
Black Tie sitting on the other side of the glass from Dave and the other guy. All his life he's been only waiting for this podcast to arise. Black Tie Try. Black Tie Try. To book us a guest like Jerry Rice.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. That's great work by the one-man house band Dick Banks.
He's the best.
Black Tie, have you come around on that?
I'm getting in there. Good. I'm also still working on my other theme song.
Oh, yeah. His rival song.
I won't hold my breath for that one.
Dropping the remix. Coming out soon. Yeah.
Handsome Hank, you like the Beatles, right?
I love the Beatles, yeah. What's Black Tie got planned?
Well, I don't know. For whatever reason, he said he's not a Beatles guy.
So he doesn't like that theme song.
So, I don't know. But obviously, it goes without saying, as a Brit, you must love
it. It's compulsory, yeah.
Does anyone, have you ever met a Brit who is such a contrarian that they announce they don't like the Beatles?
I've never met anyone.
Oh, I've met some people.
Really? I think you're a bad person if you don't like the Beatles.
It's true. What's the best English band of all time? Beatles? Rolling Stones? The Who?
It's Radiohead. We had this discussion.
Radiohead.
We have not, and that's wrong.
Well, I like Radiohead, but that is
wrong. I do as well. No, I prefer the Stones to the Beatles. There's not much between it, but yeah.
Yeah, they hung around too long, Rolling Stones. But that doesn't invalidate the quality of their earlier work. Exile on Main Street, still the best record by them. Patriots on their way now to the number one seed because the Steelers lost to the Niners on Monday night, and now the Ravens assume the second seed. Let me tell you this. The Ravens beat the Texans head-to-head, so they'll have that tiebreaker if it comes down to it. But I say the Ravens are going to lose one more game along the way here. They still have to play the Browns, and then they play the Bengals. That's conceivably a big game for the Bengals if the Jets don't beat the Giants this weekend. But as it stands right now, you have the Steelers at the Broncos. We talked about that one last week. And then you have the Jets at the Texans, which is a team that's never been in the postseason. I don't know that I necessarily love the Texans in that game in spite of their ability to pound the ball.
It's the same thing that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
The Jets would still end up worming their way into the AFC,
championship game.
Because it would just be flipped. They would beat the Texans and then beat the Patriots.
Like I say, if the Jets lose this weekend to the Giants, then they're in real jeopardy of getting in at all, and here come the Bengals.
Because they're going to lose to the Dolphins in Week 17 as well. And I've said it now, it's there. The Jets in Miami, Week 17,
Dolphins beat the Patriots this weekend?
They might.
Let me ask you, Handsome Hank.
And on the other hand, they might not.
Hey, they might not.
I don't think they will.
Who would you rather have as your quarterback, Mark Sanchez or Matt Moore?
Matt Moore.
I like how you say Matt Moore, that's for sure. Yeah, I listen, I've said this many times. People scoff at me. I think Mark Sanchez is in the half dozen worst QBs, not including guys that have been forced into playing roles. TJ Yates
is out.
Doesn't count, and a bunch of guys
Skelton
who...
Skelton is out.
Yes. I'm talking about guys who started the season as their team's quarterback. I think Mark Sanchez is in the half dozen worst quarterbacks.
Chad Henne is an upgrade for the Jets.
I mean, yeah, listen, Chad Henne, that's where we're talking about. Tavares Jackson, people like to make jokes about, but he's been actually good. And that goes along with what I've been saying for now 3 years. I think Tavares Jackson, if he gets a shot with a legitimate offense, can be productive, and he's been just fine. You know, Marshawn Lynch and that offensive line and those receivers starting to play. I mean, Mark Sanchez has everything going for him with a tough running game. He's had a great group of receivers since he's been there. You know, the names have changed some, but it's consistently a pretty good group of receivers. So, yeah, I think Sanchez really, really stinks. But now big spot. He has delivered in the postseason. This is essentially a playoff game coming up against the Giants. So we'll see if he turns around.
Well, all that said, if they get the sixth seed, I think they make the AFC Championship game.
Well, they would beat, let's say they beat the Texans.
Texans, and then the Patriots.
Beat them.
This is exactly what Rank laid out. Yeah, Rank laid this out. All right, quickly, go ahead.
That Jets-Giants game, Eli Manning, Mark Sanchez, over under on interceptions.
Well, they both turned the ball over three times last weekend. So
with six being the benchmark set last week, do they match it?
I feel like Rex Ryan, I don't know if you saw his statements, but Rex Ryan made some pretty strong statements and about, you know, that he doesn't take a back seat to anyone. He's not, you know, I think be the little brother to anybody, implying that that's how people perceive them in New York to the Giants. I think that sort of stuff, when he seems like he knows how to push the right buttons with that kind of jazz. When he starts talking trash, it seems like the Jets back him up on that. I think they're going to win this game. I don't think either team is particularly good, though, obviously.
No. Can I say one other thing about when we're talking about the wild card?
Yes.
We talked about Steelers-Broncos. That game is going to be Steelers-Chargers. Is there any doubt?
Yeah, I do doubt that.
Chargers are going to win out.
No, I do doubt that. That's not going to happen.
Wait, what?
All the Broncos have to do is win one more
game. They're not going to.
They're not going to win another? They're not going to beat the Bills this weekend?
No. They lose out, the Chargers win out. Chargers are back in the playoffs.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
The Chargers, I do anticipate them winning in Detroit this weekend. So I think you're right.
They'll beat the Raiders. They'll be 9-7.
All right. Before we get to CJ Spiller, there is one thing that is very important that we have to talk about here. And that's, they have downstairs here at the Nerve Center at NFL Network, they have a kitchen dinery kind of thing. You know, you go up and order
commissary.
A grill. Commissary. That's what it's called. They have one of those, and it's called the Huddle. And, you know, they have the Rich Eisen special. It's some kind of a pasta dish. They have the Warren Sapp and so on. They have all the things. So I said, hey, what's the poop here? When's the podcast getting its own sandwich? They said, what are you thinking about? And so I was surprised by their answer. They said, yeah, we'll happily put something up for you. So I was taken aback. But now the wheels are turning. What do I do here? Please advise me. I think I have to turn this over to the Czech Republic. This isn't something to just throw out willy-nilly. I want it to be just so. This has to be representative of Dave Damashek, the man, and to a much, much lesser degree, Adam Rank.
Are you thinking sandwiches or a dish?
I don't know. Where's your head at on this?
I think you're a sandwich kind of guy.
Do you? Well, yeah. Pittsburgh should
that's
have
what I mean.
French fries on the sandwich?
Definitely. Well, yeah.
All right, well, got to think about this.
Thinking of some sort of bean salad.
I don't know. You know what I like, though? Maybe a soup. Maybe that's the way to go. Maybe everybody else is doing sandwich. Everybody's doing something off the grill. Maybe Damashek throws a curveball. He goes to the soup bowl. I love a nice soup. You know what I love? Five bean soup. Okay, I don't care what kind of beans they are either. Beggars can't be choosers. Just give me beans, five beans, any kind of beans. Grind them all up. Puree them. Put them into a thing and make them heat it up for me, and that's a nice soup.
What's the best bean?
Now, that's a tough question you're asking, Adam. And again, that's not one to take lightly. I like a garbanzo bean.
Who doesn't?
I like a kidney bean.
Mm-hmm.
I like a baked.
I like it.
I like my beans if they're baked.
What if they're Boston baked?
What I don't care for is a black bean. Black beans don't thrill me. They don't do a lot for me, the black bean. Mm. Yeah, no.
That makes no sense.
Well, it is what it is. A black-eyed, well, that's a pea. Or is that a bean? Is the black-eyed pea a bean?
It's a lentil.
Oh, I like a lentil very much. A lentil is delicious. So, all right. And so, we do? Black Tie says we have CJ Spiller ready to go.
Should we, cool.
Let's get him in here. Handsome Hank, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to see you come in here. Give some thought to this. Do I go five bean soup? Is that the Damashek special? Or are you, you're sticking
I'm
with the
still going with the sandwich. I think there's some pretty good meats that could be in there.
All right. Well, we'll yap with you in the near future. But in the meantime, Handsome Hank, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Congratulations
to you
on the addition. We'll work on that name for you too.
Yeah, yeah. Please try and come up with something soon.
We didn't settle it with Marino.
Cordell.
Cordell could do it.
Bubby. I'm just
Bubby,
trying to think of
yeah.
Steel.
No, I don't want bad Steeler quarterbacks.
How about, bad Steeler receivers? Weegee Thompson. Weegee.
Weegee's good. I'll put it on the list. I'll suggest it tonight.
Yeah, okay. Teal.
Yeah. all right, there goes Handsome Hank out the door. In comes via the telephone from Buffalo. Just got out of practice. The man who was a first-round draft pick last year, getting his shot now with Fred Jackson on the shelf for the rest of the season. Clemson product, C.J. Spiller. How was practice today, man?
Practice was good. You know, kind of like a, you know, walk-through tempo. And then tomorrow we'll pick up the intensity. You know, guys just coming off a game on Sunday. So kind of wanted to just get guys fresh, considering that we got this quick turnaround playing on Saturday. So the day was just really just getting the assignments down. Tomorrow we'll pick the intensity up and get ready.
Well, does Coach Gailey take it easier on you when it's considering that it's the holiday week here? Does he say, like, hey, let's just go half speed, fellas? You know, happy holidays.
This is our first game where we have to have such a quick turnaround. So, you know, but other than that, you know, we come in on wins and the intensity is up. So it's really no letdown. So Coach Gailey, he's not letting us let down. I don't think the guys want to let down.
Well, I don't want to listen. I don't want to make things uncomfortable right out of the gate here, CJ. But, you know, the season started off so exciting. It was so exciting. All the nation was excited about the Buffalo Bills, and you guys were undefeated there. And obviously, I'm not saying anything that you're not aware of, that things have sort of fallen off over the last couple of months. What is the frame of mind? How do you get up individually? How do you get up as a team? What's the sort of the attitude in the locker room? Man, what happened to when we were undefeated? Or are you just kind of like, hey, we're professionals and we got to show up and do our best?
That should be the mindset, because, you know, in this sport, you know, you're going to have, you know, some slumps, and, you know, you don't want to have them, like, you know, unfortunately that we don't have them, but, you know, that's what it is. And, you know, you got to be a professional about your job. So you can't look in the past and say, you know, man, we were just 5-2 and everybody was loving us. Now we're lost like 7 in a row, and, you know, everybody's not really giving us no love. You still got to come and prepare the same way that we prepared when we was 5-2. So I hope that's the mindset of my teammates, and, you know, I'm pretty sure it is, because, you know, when we come to work, we work hard, and, you know, we go out down Sunday and try our best.
Well, I want to talk to you about your upcoming game here, but to the guys in the locker room, to the coaching staff, what is the reason for the drop-off? Like I say, obviously the offense was so gangbusters coming out of the gate. Defensively, you were doing a good job against the run. What's changed there?
I can't speak for the defense. You know, offensively, we're just not executing the way that we were. You know, the plays that we was making early in the season, some reason we're just not making them. And the breaks that were going our way earlier, they somehow just not going our way anymore. So we just got to just keep coming in every day and working hard and just keep just trying to execute and get the timing down that we need to try to go out and be successful on Sundays.
Now, you guys got Tim Tebow coming to town. What is your assessment of everything that's been going on? Because obviously he gets a lot of attention and everything. What do you guys think, you know, going into this game?
As offensive player, you look at the defense, and they have a great defense. They play around, they look like they're having fun. They know what they're doing. So, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge. They got great pass rushers, you know, and great secondary guys, and linebackers good. So, you know, from a defense standpoint, they're very good. But he's just getting all the attention, you know, because he's a quarterback, and, you know, he's 7-2 as a starter. So, you know, he had those miracles, comeback fourth quarter games. So, you know, they have a good team, you know. So, it's a, you know, they're going to try to come here and get a win, and we're looking to try to get our win. So, you know, going to be a great atmosphere, and we're looking forward to it.
Speaking of great atmosphere, how about that snow falling? You're from Florida, of course. You're from Union County High School. But what's it like for you? Do you enjoy seeing the snowflakes fall down? Or are you like, what is that white stuff falling from the sky?
Oh, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I was hoping that it would continue to fall down because it was actually fun playing in it. You know, you hear about, you know, playing in different elements, and, you know, once you play in snow, it was actually fun. So, you know, it didn't bother me. Once I started running around, getting the blood flow going, I felt pretty warm out there. So, you know, I'm going to do the same thing, you know, for these last two games.
Well, Dave mentioned you went to Union County High School in northern Florida. Tim Tebow obviously went to high school in Florida, too. Did you guys have a rivalry going back then? Because I know Rivals had you as the number one player coming out of Florida. Tebow was number eight. Did you guys have any sort of rivalry? Did you know him at all?
I knew him coming out of high school, and, you know, we played him, you know, earlier in my high school career. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily a rivalry. We kind of became, you know, friends. You know, I know his parents, his family. They got a great family, so, you know, no, I don't think it really became a rivalry between us two.
What about you were going to Florida State, right? You know, so you could have been his collegiate rival as well. How'd you wind up going to Clemson there?
Because Coach Sweeney came in. Coach Bowden and Coach Sweeney came in and they did a great job of laying down, you know, as I call it, the game plan of how I could be successful, you know, as a student athlete at Clemson. And, you know, I had to look at what would benefit me best, you know, both short-term and long-term. And, you know, obviously, you know, the offense that Florida was running at the time, you know, I figured that's kind of sense that probably wasn't going to benefit me as a running back and really showcase what I can do. And Clemson, they presented that, and it turned out great. I love it there. And, you know, but at the same time, I have the most respect for, you know, all the colleges that will give me the opportunity to come to their universities.
Yeah, but the best thing about Clemson in my book is, correct me if I'm wrong, or at least I'll be interested to hear your opinion, the coolest thing about playing in Death Valley when you wear the all-orange uniforms, yes or no?
The all-orange?
Yeah.
No, I kind of like the all-purple.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, incorrect.
The all-purple to me is kind of like, kind of put that swag on things. No, then the all-orange would be second, but the all-purple is...
Oh, purple. What are you, Clemson?
Yeah, I like the all-purple when we wore that.
All right, well, listen, I think, what about, let's see if we can agree on this, the Buffalo Bills' new uniforms versus last year's. Which ones are better?
Oh, this year's, without
yes.
a doubt.
Yes, of course. That's
without a doubt.
All right, you've redeemed yourself, CJ. With that answer, you pulled that one out of the fire.
Yeah, because we had Fred Jackson. Yeah. Well, pardon? Go ahead.
Yeah, I love these uniforms that we got. It kind of got like that old school feeling, so I love this year's uniforms.
I talked to Fred Jackson about this before. Is there too much made? It seems like when you're dressed well, you start playing well. I mean, is there a swagger that comes in? Because you guys look sharp.
Yeah, I mean, some guys, you know, they dress well. And, you know, some guys, you know, they feel they out there looking well. They're going to play well. And, you know, that's the ultimate thing. So, you know, I try to do my best with, you know, dressing well, you know, on game day. Especially when we're on the road, at home games, I really just throw on an Adidas sweatsuit and, you know, come to the stadium.
What about, though, let's go back to the game coming up this weekend against Tim Tebow. What are your thoughts, as a fan, as a guy who has some distance? Obviously, they're playing out there in the AFC West, so you don't see them regularly. Or do you? Your games are generally played early on Sundays, and then you could sit down and watch. Is everybody in the Bills locker room gathered around the TV for the fourth quarter to see if Tebow pulls it out? Are you guys rooting for him? Do you resent all the attention he's getting? Where's your head at?
Guys, you know, after our game, guys go their separate ways. And, you know, I usually go home and, you know, just hang out with my family. You know, of course, we watch, you know, some of the 4:15 games at Beyond, and, of course, the Sunday night games. So, you know, and they just happen to show, you know, the comeback that he did. You know, I look at it then, but I don't go home and, you know, get on the Internet and see if he's going to have one of those. You know, I just catch the highlights just like everybody else. And, you know, I have the utmost respect for, you know, Tim Tebow, as, you know, for what he stands for, because he doesn't shy away from that, and, you know, and that's going to carry you farther than, you know, a football player. So that's kind of where I stand on that situation.
And we mentioned that you guys go way back, and you guys actually played in the high school, the Army Bowl together when you were high school seniors. But did you think looking at him, did you go, you know what? This guy's going to be an NFL quarterback one day, because he just doesn't – the arm strength and everything doesn't seem to – that it would translate to the NFL.
I mean, well, you knew his hard work and everything. He's going to compete. He's going to have that drive, his that will to, you know, get his team to win games. And, you know, that alone is going to get you far. And you knew one day that he was going to have a shot at, you know, being a successful, you know, quarterback in this league. So, you know, it's working out. You know, people are going to judge, you know, throwing motion and this other stuff. But at the end of the day, he's winning games for his team, and that's what counts.
Do you think he could throw farther than he does?
Do I think I can throw farther than Tim?
Yes. If we had a competition, who would win?
If we had a competition, I think I'd get it out quicker.
If he were an NFL running back, who would do better?
If he was, well, of course me. I mean, of course he's going to have to wait because he's about 240, 245, but, you know, I don't think you can put him out wide and, you know, tell him to go run three goals in a row and see if he'll be successful. So
no, indeed. He'd be a terrible kick returner, too. All right, among the teams you
– do kick return and punt return.
That's right, yeah. See, pat yourself on the back. You should. You deserve it. What about you've played the Raiders early in the year when they were playing good ball. You beat them. The big win, of course, was against the Patriots. You've since played the Eagles. You just saw the Chargers a couple weeks ago who were just hitting their stride there. The Jets and the Cowboys. What's the best team you've seen out there so far?
The best team that I've seen play so far?
That you played against so far, yeah.
That I played against? I'll probably say the Patriots.
Patriots, in spite of the fact that you took care of business there.
Yeah, but we did take care of business, but we put ourselves in the hole. You know, we was down, I think, almost 21 points, and we came back. So, but you know, from overall team looking at them, I think they just find a way to win. You know, I think they had the worst defense. You know, going into the Denver game, and, you know, people thought, you know, Denver's just going to blow them out, and you see what happened. You know, they came away with a win. So, you know, I think overall, you know, they was legit.
And then, of course, you finished the season by traveling up there to Foxborough to take them on one last time before you call it quits for the season. Real quick, what does CJ stand for?
Clifford Spiller Jr.
Nope. Incorrect. I'm sorry. No, that's right. I'm sorry. It was a quick quiz to make sure. Now, here's the next question for you, CJ Spiller. What is, we asked Steve Smith of the Panthers, what is the best breakfast meat? My question for you, CJ Spiller, what is the best condiment? You know, ketchup, mustard, so on.
I'm not even sure.
Well, what do you like to put on, you know, on your hamburger or on your turkey sandwich?
I mean, I put ranch on there. I put mayonnaise, you know. But one thing, I mean, I love ranch on everything. You know, I can put ranch on just about anything. So I'll probably say ranch.
Okay, ranch. That's a fair answer. But if you're going to go salad dressing on your stuff as a condiment, go blue cheese. I want that, CJ. Please promise me that that's going to be your New Year's resolution, that you're going to replace the ranch with blue cheese. It's going to be a better 2012. Yeah, trust me on this one. You're in Buffalo, after all.
I'm going to promise you this right here. I try it, but I can't promise I can get away from it.
As long as you're willing to try it, CJ. That's what I want. But you're in Buffalo. That's what they created. They're the geniuses who said, hey, these chicken wings taste good, but you know what will make them sing even more? Some blue cheese on them. How about that? How are you? Aren't you a pariah around Buffalo eating ranch instead of blue cheese?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to try the blue cheese, and I'm going to see how it worked out. And if it worked out great for my body, I think I give up the ranch.
Okay, okay.
My word.
Deal. And I want you to know also, CJ, before we let you go, Adam Rank, who's sitting next to me here, has we do the NFL Fantasy Live show, and he is fond of picking games, and he does it with a great deal of accuracy. He says, this Sunday, CJ Spiller scores a touchdown. So he's sort of your good luck charm. He knows he's sort of a groupie in a way almost. He knows when you're going to score.
Yes. How sad for him.
You know, I'll take the touchdowns. I mean, if you say he got great accuracy, and I mean, but the thing is, doing his track record speaks for itself. You know, people say a lot about your track record. So, you know, if you have a great, you know, track record, I'll take that.
All right. Well, then I was going to let you do it, but CJ, I'll ask him point blank. I don't know if this is going to be good news or if this is going to get uncomfortable, but Adam Rank,
yep,
with CJ Spiller on the line, how does CJ Spiller perform against the Broncos this Saturday?
He's actually going to have a pretty good game. He's going to go for 78 yards on the ground. He's going to have 43 in the air, and he's going to catch a touchdown.
Oh, congratulations,
okay.
CJ.
Okay. Well, okay. I prefer the rushing, but, 6 points is 6 points, I guess.
I understand. You're going to get in there, but, you know, I like your versatility.
Thank you. Well, thank you, though. Thank you, though.
I like you sticking to your guns there, Rank. He put pressure on you to change it to a rushing touchdown, but you said no.
He's catching it in the air.
I can't control the fates.
If I get the rushing touchdown, then we'll know that his accuracy was kind of low.
All right.
All right. Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
All right, listen, CJ Spiller, you're a delight. I want you to have a happy holidays, and I wish you all the best going in or when the Broncos pay you a visit up there in Buffalo this weekend, and hopefully Rank is right about his predictions, and hopefully I'm right that you're going to love blue cheese in 2012.
Oh, thank y'all. Y'all definitely have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well.
Sure, and good luck to your Tigers against the Mountaineers in the bowl game coming up.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, all the best.
Thanks.
Nice guy. I like that Spiller. He's
a
good fella. But be honest now, Rank. He's not on the line, I don't think, anymore. Were you being sincere? Was that your actual prediction for how he's going to do this Sunday?
I'm being sincere. It's going to be a tough matchup for him going against the Broncos. The defense has been tough, but the Bills can move the ball, and I like him as a receiver. I liked his versatility, so I do believe that those numbers will hold up. As a matter of fact, I don't know if our old producer is listening, the guy who does our fantasy live now, I think his name's David. I will make that my bold prediction on
necktie
the show.
Was his name.
That's right.
That was that's the bold prediction, eh?
That'll do.
All right, very good. Let's talk about another running back, though, to wrap the show up here. We do, as we do on every episode, we honor the episode number by talking about what player in football and sports history wore that number the best. And, boy, to me, even though I never saw him play, this is one of those ones that I've seen enough highlights.
This counts. Okay.
Gale Sayers, number 40. I think when you rank the all-time great running backs, based purely on the highlights, that's all I've ever seen, of course. Didn't see him play in a real game.
Or taking the word from people who did see him and wrote about it?
No, I am talking about seeing a great deal of highlights on this guy, and I love watching Gale Sayers run. He's dandy, actually.
Because you probably saw every – because he didn't play long.
We interviewed him in Canton, Ohio at the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we were out there in the summertime? Yeah, yeah. But number 40 is – can we beat that? You can't beat number 40.
Well, Crazy Leg Hirsch is one.
No.
From the LA Rams.
I never saw him play. He can't count.
My number one is going to be Pat Tillman.
Ah!
All number 40s.
Not a bad one, yeah.
I think, you know, but if we're talking about on the field, of course, Gale Sayers, I don't think it's matched. When you talk about more than the impact of the game, but like impact beyond that, and I would say Pat Tillman, he was a guy that I knew. I wasn't good friends with him or anything like that, but friendly enough, we had a working relationship, and you know.
Is that right? You did?
He did, yeah. You know, he was a nice guy. It was weird because this was back when he first started in 98, where you would normally do interviews, you get it set up through the PR department and they hook you up and they come in during the office after practice and call you. But when I put in a request for Pat, he told the PR guy, hey, just have him call me on my cell phone at home, which players usually don't do to people that don't know. And I got on the phone with him for about an hour and we talked, and he was real. Everything that you would read about him is true. Real inquisitive guy. He kind of turned it on me, was acting like, you know, asking me questions about stuff. And if you remember at the time, there was this thing that came out, like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And sure. So I was sitting there and he goes, oh, Adam, you know, you said you're a Cal State Fullerton guy. Do you know who CJ Ankrum is? And he was the first baseman for Cal State Fullerton. And I actually knew him. And I said, yeah, I know him. Yeah. You know, I'm friendly with him and everything. He goes, we're 1 degree apart. That's pretty cool. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because I hadn't heard of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon until that point. So Pat Tillman was the guy who explained the whole theory to me, like before it exploded and got huge. So we had like that kind of stuff. And then I had kept in touch with him. You know, every season I would do something with him, called him on occasion, talked with him. Great guy. And when you look at it, you need to look at everything that he's done. Sometimes I don't feel that we do enough for the NFL. We don't remember him enough. But
I think the move that they should make, and other people suggested things like this, I think that one of, it doesn't have to be the 40-yard line, the whole line or whatever, but the numbers are on the field. One of the four 40s that is out on the NFL field should be red in honor of his Cardinal red. I think
like
that would be a nice deed.
Well,
I mean, you know, what a we hail Ted Williams and Bob Feller, and rightly so, for what they did in WW2. This would be a great deed to honor Pat Tillman. So, all right, we'll give it to Tillman then. We'll give it to Tillman over Sayers.
Oh, very cool. And it's one of those things, too. He never did what he did for the notoriety. He never wanted to be more special than any other soldier. But I think as a way of honoring all soldiers through Pat Tillman, the face of the faceless, I think would be a nice deed. I like that number 40 idea.
All right, so we'll do that. And you know what? I know we say it all the time, but let's really spin more this week, Rank. I want to do – one is not nearly enough for me.
Not with the playoffs. We could have talked about the Chargers for 40 minutes.
I know. I feel like we do Cliff's Notes version because we don't get to do enough show. We don't have enough time, enough hours in the day, in the week. We got to get more. Black Tie, it's on you. Make it so, fella. We need to spin more and more and more. And the next time we do it, I want to take some calls. Black Tie.
Oh, yeah.
Black Tie's busy playing the Minesweeper or something over there.
The show is like the fifth thing on this list of priorities right now.
All right. Well, listen, you hear the Yub Nub song by the Ewoks going there. It's better than any Christmas carol. What is the best Christmas carol like? Let's do that. Got to name the best. Next show, we do the best Christmas
carol. Is it
carol.
Rocking Around the
no,
Christmas Tree?
No, we're going to have to figure it out on the next show.
Okay.
But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.